Hear me all right? Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you guys. It's good to see you this morning. How y'all doing? Are you doing good? Hey, to all the fellas, if you haven't got your Christmas shopping done yet, you're in trouble. That's it. I'm sorry. I've got nothing for you but pray. We're into it now. We've got Christmas right here around the corner. And so I just want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas this morning. And as we're closing out our series, looking at our Christmas story, we're going to be in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. So if you got your Bibles, let's head on over to Isaiah chapter 9. And I'm going to pray and we're going to get into this. Father, we love you. We thank you, Almighty King of Kings, who humbled yourself, Father, and you came as a baby. Oh God, we love you. We thank you for your birth. I pray that you open up our eyes so we can see what we got in Jesus. In your holy name, amen. I'm going to title the message this morning, What You Got. How many of you guys have Christmas traditions when it comes to opening up your stuff? You guys all have Christmas traditions. Ours was, and some of you might have the same one, when the kids were younger, we would do Christmas Eve and we would open up one on Christmas Eve. How many of you guys do that? Like you open up one, that's just kind of normal, that's what you guys do. Well, anyways, after the kids have kind of like grown up and they moved away, and they didn't move far, they're like 7 miles away, but when they've grown up and they've got their families, so now we've kind of moved that one present to Christmas Eve. Now we opened all of them on Christmas Eve. Anybody make that transition where you're just like, I'm going to open up everything? You guys still just do the one? Most of you guys do one. How many of you guys open up all your stuff on Christmas Eve? I just want to see okay, a couple people. All right. So we opened up, we normally would open up all our stuff on Christmas Eve. Well, this year, something crazy happened in our family. And I don't know if this is going to be a tradition or not, but a week ago, I'm talking about full week ago, me, Vicky, and Samantha and Jerry was over at the house, and we're just kind of sitting there by the tree, and we have all the presents under the tree. And Samantha looks over at him and she goes, why don't we just open all these up tonight? And I said, you know, I don't know about this. And she goes, you know, this is ridiculous because we've already told each other what we're all getting. This is the God's honest truth. Everybody knows what everybody's getting. And if Vicky doesn't know what she's getting, she'll borderline illegal activity to find out. Promise God, I think I could turn my wife in on some stuff. I'm just saying. Just so she can figure it. So we're sitting there and we've got all these presents under the tree and we all know what we're getting. And so Samantha's like, hey, why don't we just do this tonight? And then that thing happened in us where, do you guys know before you sin how you have that conversation with yourself? Is this wrong? Oh, you guys don't sin. Okay. We're some real Christians. Okay. So you know how when you're going to have that conversation before you sin and you're just like, is this right? And you start justifying it and you're like, maybe God's okay with this. And okay, this ain't going to be. Well, that's how we start feeling. And we're like, man, we feel like we're about ready to sin and this isn't what we should be doing. Have you ever got that feeling? And then you're just like, I'm going for it anyway. Okay, so this is what we were feeling. We were just like, man, we shouldn't be doing this. And as we're talking it out about how we shouldn't be opening everything a week before, I get a text. I hear this ding, ding, ding on my table. And you know who it was? It was Randall. And the message said this: are we doing this? And I was like, what? How did you even know we were considering it? And so we start cracking up and I'm like, get over here. So he comes over with the grandbabies. And what we did is we opened up everything a week ago. And so tomorrow we ain't got nothing. It's like, or when we do Christmas, it's going to be the most Tuesday. When we open our, there's not going to be nothing there. We're just going to have to like wrap up toilet paper or something. I don't know. But yeah, well, Vicky tried to get the tree down 2 days ago. And I told her there's no way. I mean, we already broke the biggest rule of them all and opened all our stuff up a week ago. And she's like, get the tree out of here. And I'm like, no, we got to keep the tree. We got to keep doing Christmas, at least till Christmas. So I don't know. We're probably going to be at Food Fair buying gifts up in Toledo because it's the only place open on Christmas. But I guess what I'm saying is that sometimes when you know what you're getting, it's hard to keep waiting, amen? And so that's why I'm so fascinated by this passage this morning that we're going to see in Isaiah chapter 9. Because 750 years before Isaiah, or when Isaiah wrote this, he was giving us a picture of what was coming in Jesus. And he's letting us lift the tape a bit, 750 years before Jesus. He's letting us shake the box. He's letting us listen to see what we're going to get when we got Jesus for Christmas. And it's such an amazing passage because of what they were expecting and what they were looking for. But before we get there, we got to go back to the start in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 and 23, where it all kind of began. Jerry, can you hit the front lights here for us? Let there be some light. And so there was. So let's start in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 23. This is where it all started. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before their marriage took place, and while she was still a virgin, that's always a problem, right? She became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit, and Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man. And the reason why he was a righteous man is because he was not a revengeful man. Do you remember we were talking about if you were in that situation, you'd be wanting to get even? You'd be wanting to get payback for payback because nobody gets pregnant like this. But she did. And when it says he was righteous, it was because he was looking to how he could restore this woman. Even though he believed, she wasn't telling him the truth. And he didn't believe her at first. And this is why he's wanting to leave her. Did you guys know that? It was a crazy story, but the Bible tells us that instead of getting revenge, he sought righteousness. And we got to do that with people in our life too, because sometimes it's easy to go the other way. Do you know what I'm talking about? But instead, we need to have some righteousness about us and look to restore things. And so that's what Joseph was doing, and he didn't want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her is conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth and have a son. You're to name him Jesus, and he'll save his people from their sins." And all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And so when Joseph gets this, he gets this visitation at night, and he doesn't even know what to think about it. Or maybe it's during the day. We're not exactly sure. But have you ever had somebody, I mean, sometimes when people come over to the house for Christmas, like, do you guys like visitors that just show up? How many love visitors just pop up? You're just like, hey, cool. Yeah. The most of us, how many of you guys like people just showing up? Nobody. Okay, how many of you don't like it? You don't like it. What if I show up?
It's okay.
All right, because I'm not going to come see you now. Forget it. So here's the thing. But sometimes, you know, we want to see visitors and it's cool. But other times it's like, what are you doing here? You're knocking on the door. It's like, I went over to my neighbor's house at 10 o'clock the other night because I wanted to give him a card. And 10 o'clock is kind of late. But they do work graveyard. And so, but I go over there, it's all dark, and I knock on the door. And they look out the window like I'm the cop, you know. And they're just, what do you do? They're looking out the window like, we didn't do anything. We didn't do anything wrong. And I'm like, I'm just trying to bless you guys with a little something. And so I gave it to them, but I was laughing about how when they were looking out through the window, they didn't know what to make of who was outside that door. And when Joseph sees this angel, he doesn't know what to make of this angel, because this angel, man, these angels are not like we see them. You know, the big fat babies with the bow and arrow, and some of them got the cigarettes rolled up in their sleeve. Have you ever seen those ones? And they look cute, Van Halen. That's not this. In fact, angels, They're so mighty and powerful. There was a story in 2 Kings where one angel killed 185,000 people overnight. And it wasn't even like this guy was working out. You know, like, I need a break, I need to get some Gatorade, I got to pace myself. It wasn't nothing like that. He comes, bam, and he wipes everybody out. These guys are powerful, they're strong. Shows up in Joseph's business unannounced. And if any of us were like Joseph, we would have had the same response as Joseph. And it would have been, you would have been afraid. You would have been scared. It makes sense. Joseph was worried. And so the angel tells him that this child is going to be conceived by the Holy Spirit. And don't be afraid to take Mary as his wife. And so if you look in Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 that we just got done reading, you'll see at the bottom of your Bible, you guys got your Bibles, I know you do, you'll see a footnote there when you get home. And it says Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, because it's going back to this particular situation when it said the Lord will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child and she'll give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. Not above us. Not distant from us, but he's... What, did you know God's in this place?
Amen.
That fire's not the only thing burning in here.
Amen.
He's with us.
Yes.
And what's cool about that, when Isaiah wrote that 750 years ago, it shows us that there's this meta-narrative that flows all throughout the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation. Now, some of you may not know this, but did you know from Genesis to Revelation, it all talks about Jesus? It points to Jesus every step, every book that you turn to. Do you know who it's pointing to? Jesus, the gift, what we got. In fact, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we talked about the proto-evangelium, where the first gospel was proclaimed about the one who would come and crush the head of the serpent. Do you guys remember that? And then Abraham was told that from him a seed would come who would be a great light to the Gentiles. And then Moses said that there was going to be one God was going to raise up amongst the people who's going to be an amazing prophet. Not just prophet, but God proclaiming the word. And then the Psalms declared that there'd be a son of David, the anointed one. And then Isaiah said that he would come as the suffering servant. And so it's in chapter 9. Are you guys there? That the world will see a sneak peek inside this box of what we got for Christmas when we got Christ. Are you guys ready to see it? This is like so cool. I love this. I love what we're going to see this morning. This is going to show us what we got in Jesus. And so in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2, this is the context of when this Messiah, Christ King, would come. This is what the people would be going through. It says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. And so what Isaiah is saying is that there's going to be some dark days. Now, how many of you guys know that, like, around Christmas, everything gets amplified? Like your emotions. And there's two kinds of people that go through Christmas. There's the first kind where everybody's cool. Everything's happy. They see long lines at the store. And they're just like, this is a great opportunity to meet somebody new. You know, and they're happy about long lines. Their puppies do no wrong. Everything is great. They say stuff like, howdy do, neighbor. Like, howdy do. And you're just like, how did he do? How did he do, neighbor? And all this weird stuff. And you're just like, man, this guy's like crazy happy. And everything just makes him crazy happier. That's not a lot of people. That's some people. That's not a lot of people. And then you got group two, where there's brokenness, there's sadness, there's regret, there's loneliness, and all that this season does is amplify that. That's like the second group. And that's who Isaiah is talking about, that there's going to be a light in the darkness. There's going to be a new light will show up, a true light, a true joy, a true peace in Jesus. Now, here's the cool thing about it. If you're there this morning, and some of us are, we don't have to wait for this to come because it's already came. We have what Isaiah was prophesying about that was going to come in Jesus Christ today. So no matter what we're going through, no matter what's amplified in your life today, Jesus has come and we don't have to wait, and He's the best gift. And Isaiah is going to say, okay, now it's time to peel away some of that tape and look inside the box. Because He wants us to show us how this amazing gift came. And how did He come anyway? Just on a side note. As a baby. I told you guys, if it was me, I would have come. We watched Chronicles of Narnia. I would have came in like Absalom. Roaring everybody away that was mean. Just, if you're nasty, I would roar up in your face and get you out of there. Or Transformer. I don't know, somebody powerful, but a baby? And what Isaiah says about this and what we see in Jesus is that this baby, though, comes as a mighty warrior who's humble. And so now Isaiah gives us this. He says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, all in one verse, this is what we got in Jesus when we got Him for Christmas. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And so the first thing that we get, we're just going to go through these and we're going to close out in worship. But I got to show you this. This is what we got in Christ for Christmas. Number one, we got a God who's wonderful. Wonderful. And I don't like that word wonderful because it kind of sounds like a Hallmark greeting card. You know, with Skittles and just rainbows. Everything's great. Wonderful. Everything's wonderful. But what Isaiah is saying is that's not what I mean by what you got. Instead of thinking it as wonder, Him as wonderful, you need to think of it like this. He is full of wonder. Have you guys ever, and I don't know, I'm not a romantic guy, I don't think. I pray to God that I'm not. But sometimes, like, I'll go outside. We're talking about full wonder. Sometimes I'll go outside, and the night that we did the movie, it was a full moon. And the clouds were breaking through, and it was like, I went out there at like midnight, and I'm just sitting out there on my step. And you know when it's midnight, and it's a full moon, and everything looks blue, and there's shadows. It's almost like you're in the sun. You know what I'm talking about? There's like shadows of the moon on everything, and it just illuminates everything. And I was sitting out there, and I was like, oh my God. This is like Peter Pan. Like, I'm waiting for some ship to go. I'm just like, this is amazing. So full of wonder. Sometimes when we see a sunset or a baby's born, we can really see that wonder. But the problem with it is that wonder fades. Did you know that? And the reason why it fades is because you get used to certain things. People that move here to the coast, man, they're hitting the beach all the time, aren't they? You talk to people that move here and they're like, I'm going to the beach today. And then you talk to them, I'm going to the beach today. What are you doing? I'm going to go down the beach. I'm just going to hang out down at the beach. And then in a year, you see them and they're like, man, is it like abnormally rainy this year? Is it like normally it's raining? I'm getting sand in my car. And for some of us that have lived here, as long as that we've lived here, so in the last 20 years, I honestly think, 25 years, however long we've been here, I honestly think I've been to the beach 4 times. And when Vicky and I, when we first moved here, we're like, this is so amazing, this is so beautiful. And then you get to where you're like, eh, how many of you guys have gone to the beach who live here more than 5 times in a year this last year? More than 5 times. Wow. I'm almost feeling bad. Katrina, don't raise your hand. You know you don't ever go to the beach. Come on. But most of us, it's, and here's why, because it fades. Wonder fades. And the older that you get, the more wonder that you lose. Did you guys ever notice that? I'm talking to all those over 30 right now. The older we get, the wonder fades. We get crotchety. I don't even want to use that word in my context, but it's true. We get ornery, we get kind of crotchety, and the wonder of everything is lost. But I'm going to tell you guys something. Man, God wants us, He wants to impress us. Did you know that? That's why I think it was Isaiah 49, 13, I believe it was. But he said, God said, whoever puts their hope in me will not be disappointed. Did you know God wants to be your source of wonder?
Yeah.
And Jesus can get that wonder back to wonderful? And so if you're here this morning, you're in that place where you're just like, you've been putting your hope in stuff and you're not getting that wonder of God. Your source of whatever you put your hope and your expectations in, that's going to be your source of like what you get out of life and the wonder. If you're putting your expectations in things that are failing, if you're putting in your expectations in, I don't know, your ex cooperating with the kids or making more money or getting things, relationships fixed that you want fixed that you can't fix, and you're expecting those things to happen, let me tell you something. If they don't happen, and a lot of the time they just don't, you're going to be let down. But God, that's why he says, put your hope in me. Put your wonder in me. I grab baby boy. I call him brother. He's my grand boy. And I don't call him his name because we wanted to name him like Judah James. And so my kids named him Randall after his dad, which is cool. That's his kid. He can name him whatever he wants to name him. But I'm not going to call that baby Randall. So I wanted Judah James. So I call him brother. And we all call him brother. And I'll pick that boy up, and I'll do this, and I'll bring him down. I'll give him some moochie, and then I'll throw him up, and I'll give him... And every time I put him up and bring him down, do some of the moochie, he's laughing so hard, and he loves it. He's freaking out. Because every time, it's like, he's like, man, it's something new, it's something new. And what I want to tell you is what we're seeing here, what the Bible is saying here, and what you can experience in Christ is that newness of do it one more time. Do it one more time. God, do it one more time. Show up one more time. And then when we look to God to do those amazing things, I'm telling you what, in Christ, we get our wonder back. Why? Because he's wonderful. He's full of wonder. So then Isaiah says not only is he wonderful or full of wonder, but that he's also our counselor. How many of you guys got issues this morning? I just wanted to see how many would lie. Nobody's raising their hand, like two people. No, that's something we don't want to broadcast. I've got issues. But here's the reality of it is if you came in here today, you definitely got some issues. We all got some issues. And like I said, this is the time of the year where those issues get magnified. They get amplified. I told Vicky when we were going into Walmart, it's got to be the only time of the season where you can be happy going in and then wanting to kill people coming out. It's like everything gets crazy at this time. I mean, people should be happy at this time of the year. You go shopping and they're nuts. They're nuts. They'll kill you over a scarf. It's like crazy. And everybody, this time of the year, we got issues that we're going through. And I don't know what everybody's going through. I just know that I've got my own issues. I know that you got your issues. And I do know that they seem to get magnified. But nevertheless, that we got issues. And what the Bible says he is a counselor. Which means you can come in here and get your face on, you know, your Christian face. Hey, brother, how you doing? Hey, and everything's cool, and my life is good, and I don't got none of this issues that everybody else got. Or you can get real and say, you know what? I'm actually going through something right now.
Amen.
And it's tough. And we can get real with Jesus about it. But when it says counselor, it doesn't mean that we can just get real with Jesus. It means we can get help from him. And we can go to his word and we can see this is what he says. This is where he's leading. This is what I'm to do. This is how I'm to do it. So if we've got cares, you've got Christ. And he wants us to put not only our wonder in him, but to go to him as our counselor. What did Jesus say? Whoever comes to me, I'm going to give you rest. So the reason why you don't have rest is because you're going to the wrong place. And so he says, listen, you've got a wonderful counselor. But then he says that we also have a mighty God. And I love this. We've got a mighty God. Say this with me, just real quick. Jesus can do what I cannot do. Let's just do it one more time. Jesus can do what I cannot do. Do you agree to that? If you don't, think about trying to forgive somebody you can't forgive. Think about you having to say sorry and you just can't say sorry. Think about somebody that you've tried to make peace with and you can't make peace with. You know what the Bible says? You got a mighty God. And what you cannot do, what Isaiah is saying, is Christ can do. I was thinking about how the disciples, when we saw them in that story, when they were in the storm. And in the story, it's kind of funny because everything's falling apart and they are literally drowning. They are. It's not like a cute story where, oh, there's some water coming into the boat. They're like halfway under. And Jesus is down in the boat in the stern sleeping. And if anybody should be up, I would have been like, get up here, Lord, we're do something about this. And that's kind of like what they do. They freak out. Do you remember the story? They're like, we're going down. We're freaking out. And Jesus gets up from his nap and high wind warning out there. And he looks out and he says three words, peace be still. Boom. And you know how long it took for that to happen? It wasn't 30 minutes. It wasn't 40. It wasn't the next day things got calmer. You know what that says? That immediately when he spoke, peace be still, the wind, the waves, the storm, it stopped and there wasn't even a ripple. Boom, it was totally sealed. It was totally calm at his word, be still, and it was still. You know, Jesus can do what we cannot do. And it's not just the storm out there that he quiets, but it's also the storm in here. And it's also that inward struggle that he deals with inside of us. And he'll say, peace, be still. But you know what? You got to get up and get to him. You got to get to him. If you want healing, if you want that forgiveness in you, if you want that peace in you, you got to get up and get to him because he can do what you can't do. And that's what Isaiah was saying. He was saying, you got a mighty God. You've got a wonderful God. And you've got a counseling God. And then he closes it out with this. You've got an everlasting Father. The Bible says that he's an everlasting Father who knows all our thoughts. He knows what you're thinking when nobody knows what you're thinking. He knows what you do when nobody sees what you do. He's always there. He's always present. And the thing that amazed me about that was that he still loves me. I'll talk to me for a minute. He still loves me as an everlasting Father. And as I was writing that, the guy that came into my mind was Clark Griswold. Not as the father. He's not who I was thinking my father is. But I was thinking about, have you guys seen Christmas Vacation?
Yeah.
And do you remember the part where he's waiting for the bonus? Because he put all that money for the swimming pool. And then he's like, he didn't have the money. And he spends all this money. He's like, we're getting a swimming pool. This is going to be great. And, you know, his in-laws are coming over and they're burning stuff up. But he just doesn't care because he's waiting on this bonus. And then the guy comes on the door and he's like, I'm sorry, this fell through my seat. And I'm late with this letter. And here, are you Mr. Griswold? And he's like, yeah. And he gets and he shuts the door in the carrier's face. And he goes into the living room and he's like, this is it. This is it. And he's showing everybody. He's like, man, and they're all excited. And they're like, yeah, Claude, this is it. You deserve this. And he opens that letter up and it was like a gift certificate to a gym or something, right? Was that what it was? It was like a gym membership. And man, it cracked me up because the look on his face was like, what the? And I was like, man, I don't know. lived perpetually in that state of what the, I just can't believe it. Like, this is like, is this really happening? Like, for real. And he goes outside and he kicks Santa Claus to the moon. It's just like he's freaking out, ripping everything up and just going nuts. And the reason why I thought about that is because inside my heart, see, you guys, I don't look like that outside. But on the inside, I'm kicking elves and Santa and I'm just like going crazy and I'm just like, are you kidding me? But when you realize what Isaiah is saying, that we have an everlasting Father, that's going to change your life, and here's why. Because when you don't get the bonus, when you are still sick, when things still are messed up, and when we mess up, and we go another direction, the Bible says you've got a loving, everlasting, like it doesn't end. Like he's there forever. He was everlasting. He was there before your kids. He was there before your marriage. He was there before you were there. And he's not going anywhere. And he says he's an everlasting Father. He's right there with us all the way through whatever we're going through. And not only that, he's there to help us, counsel us, be mighty on our behalf. You remember, whoever puts their hope in me will not be what? Disappointed, because he's our Father. And so this last one, we're going to close out with this. Our Prince of Peace. Isaiah says he's wonderful. He's our counselor. He's our mighty God. He's our everlasting Father. And he's our Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. The definition of peace, just so you guys understand, is the absence of war. That's the definition of peace. So if you were to ask the world, hey, what is peace? They're going to say, well, it's the absence of things being really bad. But if you were to ask Isaiah, when he's letting us peek under that tape, shake that box around a little bit, he'd say it's not the absence of war, but it's the peace in the midst of it. So like, there's war going all over the place. There's storms all over the place. And it's when things are falling apart that there's peace in that, in you. You don't want things falling apart around you. Neither do I. You don't want to go through all of that. Nobody does. Nobody's sitting here today saying, yeah, bring that. But here's the reality. You're going to go through it. You got no choice. You're going to go through it. But on the other side of that, we don't go through it alone. And we've got the Prince of Peace holding everything together. Look what Paul says in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, I think it was. You got that up there? Colossians chapter 1? I'll say it for you. It's okay. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. He existed before anything else, and he holds everything together. That means you. He holds everything together because he's the Prince of Peace. And so this week, as we're closing out, I wanted to tell you guys something that I'm not going to tell you what happened to me, because if I tell you everything about me, you'll lose respect. But if I don't tell you anything, then you think I can't relate. So this week, though, I will tell you this. This week, I had a situation, and I made a promise to God about something. And don't worry, I'm not into dope or watching porn or nothing like that. But I had made God a promise about something. And I told him, I said, listen, as long as you keep doing this one thing, then I'm going to keep doing this other thing. And I promise you, you just keep doing it, and I'm going to keep doing this. Have you ever made a promise to God and broke it? Anybody? Okay, cool. Not cool that you... I'm not saying that's cool. I'm just like, okay, you guys know what I'm talking about. But you know what God did? He kept that one thing going, but then I said, I'm not doing it no more. And I went for years, church, telling them, you just keep doing this, I'm going to keep doing that. And he kept doing it. And then I said, I'm not doing it. And it was at that moment where the Lord told me about this verse. He said, Jason, you know, you've been trying to hold some things together, but I want you to know, by you just quitting right now, I'm showing you something, that you weren't the one holding it together anyway. I was, and I am. Because see, there's this sense of control. And when we have control, yeah, we're Christians. God's in control of everything. We turn to Him. We believe in Him for everything. But you know what? You want control. You do too. You do too. You got a control problem. You're all control freaks. You do. You got an issue. But control's a myth. Did you know that? James chapter 4, read about it. He says, oh, you're planning to do business in this town, and you think you're going to do this thing next year, and you think you're going to have this over here. And he says, you don't even know when your life is up. Control is a myth. And what the Lord showed me when I told Him I'm done and I quit my promise, instead of my everlasting Father saying, you know what, I'm done with you then. You know what, you broke your promise. You lied to me. I fulfilled mine. You're not fulfilling yours. Instead, what He did is He showed me He's holding it together even when I let go. And I want to encourage you. If you're here this morning and you've been trying to hold on to something, and you've let go, not God. God ain't quitting. God doesn't quit. But if you have quit on something, I want to tell you, He's not done with it yet. And whatever that is, you're not holding it together, but He is, because He's the Prince of Peace. Is that cool? Yeah. Hey, worship team, come on up. So here's the bottom line of it. When we got Christ, we got God. When we got Christ, we got God. And this is what we got. We got a wonderful, full of wonder God. We got a counselor who wants you and your issues. How rare is that? You know, sometimes we don't want to say hi to people because we know the next thing that comes out of their mouth is going to be bleh. And God says, you know what? Bring that to me. I'll counsel you through it. He's a mighty God. Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. And that's what we got when we got Jesus. Man, let's give it up for the Lord one more time. Just one more time. Hey, would you guys stand with me? We're going to close in prayer and another worship song. Wonderful. Wonderful. Jesus, you are wonderful. Come on, church, say it with me one time. Wonderful. 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 God, you are wonderful. Full of wonder.
Full of wonder.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We love you. We praise you. And change our lives, God. Fill us up with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, most of all, we thank you for what you've come and given us in you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Merry Christmas to you, Lord. We love you, Jesus.